Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get back into the Bills here. Marcel Louis Jacques joins us now from ESPN covering the Bills. Marcel, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. I'm doing well. I appreciate y'all having me on.
You got any big plans for the bye week? It seems like everyone's on vacation. That's partially why we're actually here talking to you right now. Any big plans for the bye week?
I got my oldest friend coming to town tonight, actually. We're going to do a quick little wing tour around here.
All right.
Sabres game tomorrow. Which, by the way, anybody listening to this, I have no idea where to sit in a hockey game. So, like, if y'all got your stadium recommendations, shoot them over at Marcel LJ, please. But, yeah, then we're going to hit Toronto for a little bit and come back
nice.
To Western New York.
Sounds fun.
Just kind of enjoying the staycation.
Love Toronto. You're saying, like, actually where to sit in the arena?
Yeah, like in the arena, man. Like, I've never been to I went to one hockey game when I was a kid, but, I mean, I was a wee little lad, man. I don't remember any of that.
Depends what you're looking for. I think if you want to be like right in the middle of the atmosphere, you want to go lower bowl. But I prefer the 300. It's kind of like a football game. You get it's like a bird's eye view.
300 center ice is pretty nice.
Yeah, it depends what you're looking for. Because if you want that bird's eye view to be able to make sure like you're seeing everything, then the 300 level actually could be a little underrated. But lower bowl, a little higher up, I think is probably your sweet spot, I think. All right. Let's get right into with the Bills here. We got the bye week. They're 4-1. I think things are going about as well as we could have expected. I think if a fan would have looked at the schedule and kind of predicted it at the beginning of the year, the most optimistic fan might have had them at 4-1. Like, hey, we're going to lose to New England, but we're going to win the other games. So far this year, are you surprised by their start, or do you think that it's right about what you expected?
No, this is right in the wheelhouse, to borrow a term you just said earlier in the conversation. It's right in the wheelhouse of expectations. When you looked at that schedule, you knew that they would have to find a way to lose games against the Giants, the Jets, the Bengals. Those are easy dubs on paper. I thought the Titans was always going to be a swing game, though. New England, if they're going to beat New England, it was probably that spot. But the loss is not a huge surprise. Titans could have gone either way, and the fact that they were able to get out a victory last Sunday, I still think speaks volumes to how talented this team is on the defensive side of the ball, how well coached they are on the offensive side of the ball. And it's that one thing. It's just turning the ball over and hanging on to it. That's, I think, holding this offense back, because you look, they are, I think it's third in time of possession. They're something like eighth in first downs per game. They're one of the best red zone offenses in the league. Top 10, I believe, offense as well in terms of yards per game. They can move the ball. They just can't hang on to it. They lead the league in turnovers. And I think that's that ball and chain attached to their ankle, keeping them down from this high ceiling that I think this team has overall.
I guess it's going to depend on what the expectations might be and where the ceiling for this team might be. But if this is what they are, if their offense is above average in yards per game, if they are moving the football, but they can't really get the turnovers under control, but the defense is so good that they are, like, teams just won't score 20 points on them, then I guess, is that the recipe, is that a good enough recipe to get this team to at least the playoffs?
To get to the playoffs, yeah, you should be able to do that. I mean, if you look at this remaining schedule with Washington, with Miami twice, with the Jets, with the Steelers, with the Broncos still on the schedule, you can probably pencil in 10 wins right there if everybody remains healthy.
You looked at
daunting at all. It's not daunting at all.
You looked at the you looked at the offense's ability to move the ball down the field so far this year, sustain drives, but turnovers has kind of been a problem. What would you say to the fans? Me and Joe were kind of talking about it earlier. They're inability right now to push the ball down the field, which was really a strong suit of Josh Allen's coming out of Wyoming. They did bring in John Brown. He had that 38-yard touchdown week one, but since then he's had you know, receptions of 28 yards and 27, but they haven't really hit the home run yet. Are you confident that the offense will be able to get that going down the stretch here?
I think the addition of Duke Williams might help that as well. He's not a burner, don't get me wrong, but he is a guy who, if he's even, you can probably trust him in that 50-50 jump ball down the field. But while it was a strong point of Josh Allen's as when he left Wyoming, it was not a strong point for him last year.
Mm-hmm.
He has a strong arm. He can throw the thing across the full length of the field, there's no doubt. He did not complete a high percentage of them last year, and he has continued that trend this year. I think that it's not an efficient play, and that's why we haven't seen it dialed up very often. But once again, if you're moving the ball, there's not a whole lot of need to take those kind of risks. And because of these problems with the turnovers, with problems with Josh throwing interceptions, with struggling to read defenses downfield when they disguise their coverage, I think that they're going with the safe route. They're saying, okay, let's just extend drives. Let's just nickel and dime down the field. We don't need to score 40 points a game. We're not the Chiefs. We have a defense that'll get the job done. Let's just get them a lead. And I think that's what you usually see with Buffalo through these first five games.
Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, Bills reporter, is on the Wester hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. While we're on the offense, Zay Jones traded this week. I don't think it was that surprising. The story of Zay Jones going from second-round pick to this season, getting an opportunity in Duke Williams taking his spot. How do you look at the Bills at receiver right now? And were you surprised at all, I guess, that they were able to get a draft pick for Zay Jones?
No, I'm not completely surprised. A fifth rounder next year is kind of a low risk, high reward move for Oakland. I'm not surprised that they moved on from him. I am surprised they did it. I mean, what, like 24 hours after the game ended?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even less than 24 hours after the game ended, just because I thought that Duke Williams' debut was promising, don't get me wrong, but for them to just be completely ready to move on from him means that I think this is something they've been ready to do for a while now. They just needed an on-field proof that what he does on the practice field can translate. And so I think the receiver room is still strong. You've got your burner in John Brown and probably your best big play receiver there. You've got your chain hanger in Cole Beasley. You got your change of pace guy with Isaiah McKenzie, and you got your short yardage red zone target, Duke Williams. And what I really appreciate, too, about Duke is that not only can he make that consistent kind of the clutch catch, three of his four receptions on Sunday went for either a first down or a touchdown, but he also takes pressure off the rest of the guys on the field once you get in that red zone. If you go back and watch Josh Allen's first touchdown pass of the game, Duke Williams was actually open on the play, but he had a few,
right.
He had the defense's attention. Nobody's watching Lee Smith, and it allows Brian Daboll to kind of really start dressing here, really get creative in the red zone with who's getting the ball. And I think that's underrated there. So the offense still looks strong with Duke. I'm looking forward to seeing what it can do, what Daboll can do with Singletary and Duke Williams at his disposal. I think that's probably the best collection of talent on the field that the Bills will have all season, and maybe even change the tide. And who better, I think I said it yesterday, who better than to test out this new offense against than the Miami Dolphins in Week 7?
Yeah, and they've certainly upgraded. I mean, you can just see it. I mean, John Brown's been awesome this year. He, four of his five games, he's had over five receptions, 390 yards right now, and a touchdown. So certainly improved over the offseason, bringing in Brown and Beasley. And like you said, you got Duke Williams and Singletary right now. But is there another move left to be had here for the offense? The trade deadline coming up soon. There's guys on the open market right now at wide receiver, or at least seemingly are available. Does this Bills regime, do you think they're going to be aggressive? Normally the NFL, it's not like other leagues where the trade deadline is this crazy event. But the past couple of years, there's been more and more trades. It really has become more of a trading league with the emergence of compensatory picks and stuff like that. Teams are more willing to bring in rental players. Could the Bills have another move up their sleeves at the wide receiver position? Maybe on defense too, but we're talking about receivers here, and there's some interesting names available. Would they be willing to give up a decent-sized amount for another weapon to maybe put this offense over the top and give Allen a better chance at using that God-given gift of that arm strength?
I don't know if I would necessarily call Buffalo buyers, but buyers at the right price, sure. I don't think they make any move, any drastic move, before they see what the offense at its current state can do. Because if you're trading for a player, you're also trading probably for a decent-sized salary, and that takes away from that pool of money that they'll have going into the offseason. And you got to remember, there are guys in-house that need contract extensions. Deion Dawkins is going to need to be extended soon. Same with Matt Milano. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, both playing way undervalued right now. They're probably in for good-sized deals in the next year or so. And so I think they're more focused on who's in-house before they bring in, you know, big money elsewhere. But that being said, the only two names I think I would take seriously are Stephon Diggs and the possibility of Von Miller. Been hearing rumors over the past week or so that Von Miller might be available. And I know he spent a lot of time in that 3-4 in Denver. I'm not sure how exactly he'll fit in here in Buffalo, but when you've got guys like Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott, I think they'll figure out how to integrate a guy like Von Miller. It's just, if you can imagine this defense with a guy who can consistently bring an opposing quarterback down instead of just pressuring him, I think that adds an additional element to what's already a pretty frightening unit. And then Diggs is a proven guy who can make plays whenever he touches the ball. Anytime he gets it in his hands, he's a threat to go to the house. And beyond John Brown, I don't know if Buffalo necessarily has that kind of player. And even John Brown is not exactly winning. He's not winning one-on-one matchups at the rate that Stephon Diggs will.
I love the Diggs idea a lot. 25 years old, under contract. That's kind of what makes it really appealing to me. While we're on it real quick, do you have any thoughts on A.J. Green? Because I know there was a comment he made today about possibly being traded. He says, I'm prepared for anything. 32, injury history. Like, what kind of idea do you think that is for the Bills?
I'm not trading for A.J. Green. One, it'll be hard for the Bengals to part with a franchise icon. It's going to alienate an already at edge or on edge fan base. And it depends. If they're asking for a third rounder, I still probably don't do it. Just what's the point? You can use that. You can use that third rounder on a receiver next year. It's a really deep receiving class. And he's kind of, I don't want to say past his prime, because I still think he can be effective, but his career is closer to being over than in his beginning. And that was that's the main draw with Stephon Diggs. Like you said, young guy in his prime, probably still has another contract left in him after this one. You know, I would not have, I hated the idea of giving up a second rounder or a first rounder for Diggs until I really thought about it. Because my main reason was, well, there's so many good receivers. Just draft one of them in the first round next year. Draft in the second round. But Diggs is right now what you would expect that draft pick to be, or you would hope that draft pick could be. So why not just use that pick on someone on a known commodity? So I've grown enamored with the idea, you know, as I thought about it as time goes on. But Diggs is probably the only receiver I would go after if I'm Buffalo. I heard somebody float Emmanuel Sanders yesterday. I think he's too similar. I think he's like a nice little mix between Beasley and Brown, but that doesn't give you anything different, and that's kind of taken away from the guys that you already have. I think Diggs will be able to carve his own unique role here on the roster.
Right, good point. About a minute or two left here with Marcel-Louis-Jacques of ESPN on the Westher Hotline. Let's get back to the actual roster for a second here. And I'm wondering about Devin Singletary, who might be ready. Maybe it sounds like he might be ready after the bye to return. And really, when he went out, TJ Yeldon was not really much a part of this offense. And Singletary, I know, led the team in snaps by a wide margin in week one. So I'm wondering what you think the running back rotation looks like when he returns between him, Gore, and Yeldon.
I think it reverts back to what we saw in weeks one and two. Singletary had the more memorable plays, of course, in those first 2 weeks. But Gore touched the ball 30 times, or still touched the ball 30 times. I still think he's the between-the-tackles guy. Singletary sets the edge and plays the passing downs. And Yeldon just kind of reverts into you know, borderline unused or in special teams. I think Yeldon has been fine. You know, he's been fine these past few weeks. He has not been Devin Singletary, though. He doesn't have that same level of explosion, but he is consistent. You know where his floor is. You know where his ceiling is. You know what you're getting with Yeldon. But Singletary, yeah, like you said, he's adding this whole new level of explosion to Buffalo's offense. And you've really been able to tell in the running game. And Gore has been fantastic at getting chunk yards right up the gut. I don't know if anybody saw that coming, but he's breaking off 12 plus yard runs like they're nothing lately. And but I don't think it's enough to completely phase the other two backs out of the game, at least not Devin Singletary.
We went about 20 minutes with you, and we didn't really ask you a Josh Allen question, so let's wrap on that. How do you think Josh Allen has progressed in the first four games here, or first five games here? Do you think that he has taken the necessary steps in the offseason? Not saying he's a finished product, but are you impressed with him through five games?
Definitely impressed through five games. I think you see the willingness. Like we've heard it all offseason, how he knows what he needs to improve, how he knows he needs to take care of the ball, and you can see it, but it's still, you still see some cracks. You still see some cracks in the armor there. There are still times where he does try to make the heroic play. He does try to do too much. And, you know, it's put the team in some tough situations through five games. But he has also been a lot more accurate with the ball. You can tell he's more comfortable in the offense. He's changing plays at the line of scrimmage. He's just as elusive as ever. And I think that and he's more willing to take those checkdowns when he does throw the ball. And I think there's plenty to be optimistic about when it comes to Josh this season. And there's a pretty excellent stretch here in the next 3-4 games for him to continue to get right, continue to, you know, kind of shake that itch off of, you know, I got to fit this ball into this window. I got to make plays happen. I've got to be the guy to do something for this team. I think he carries a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, and that kind of comes with being a guy tapped to turn a franchise around. So, you know, mentally, I can empathize with him there, or sympathize with him there. But there's just a couple of decisions he needs to stamp out before I think he's, you know, fully there as the guy.
All right, Marcel, hey, thanks for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the Sabre game. Again, I know you'll get plenty of recommendations on Twitter, but if I had to put my two cents in, upper lower bowl would be my recommendation.
Agreed.
But I'm sure
yeah.
you'll get plenty of that from Sabre and Bills fans.
Awesome. Upper lower bowl, man. I'll start looking at tickets now.
All right, thanks, Marcel.
All right, thanks for having me, y'all. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.